Pass my commiserations to Mr. Donovan for last week. I'm not going to forget it, you know. Mr. Donovan, for those that don't know, and Ms. Janine as well, they're Manchester United supporters. And so last week was not a good week for them. We had to check his blood pressure. When it was halftime, he was a bit happy, thinking, I will come back. But the second half, the blood pressure must have gone through the roof. 6 goals in a half. Yeah, not good for your blood pressure. But I'm so glad for all of us, for you guys joining us. And, you know, just to, in 3 weeks' time, on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we're going to hear from Mr. Donovan as he speaks to us. And, you know, one thing, what I like about Mr. Donovan is that he's just a man that has got the heart of God. His story is absolutely amazing about the power of God and what God did for them, for him, when he got saved. And I would encourage you to pencil mark those. If you don't come any other Sunday or Friday, well, the only Friday you can come is that one. So come on that Friday, and definitely on the Sunday, because you will be blessed by what Mr. Donovan will say to us. And he's got the gift of God on his life, he has, and just that authority as he's a teacher. He's able to make concepts and things simple and easy for people to understand. And so we're very appreciative of Mr. Donovan. So let's put our hands together for Mr. Donovan. And Shelwyn, it's Shelwyn? Yes, right. I sense the Lord. When my wife started, you know, look, I just sense God saying that there is a shout of God within you. And that whilst I know, of course, you've got your own way of doing things, that you are going to face, if an obstacle comes, what God is saying is that you are going to have to shout and declare and speak things. You know, when they walked around, they marched, and they sang, and then they declared. And God is saying that he has given you a voice. He has given you his voice within you so that you can begin to declare anything that comes against you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please. So what I want to say this morning is that you are very important to God. It don't matter what age you are. You could be young and you're thinking, I got my whole life ahead of me. You could be old and you're thinking that, oops, my life, I'm nearing the end. Your life is very important to the Lord. Each and every one of you has a significant purpose. The fact that you're alive and that you're breathing suggests to me that God is doing something, and that it could just be maybe you begin to pray over your family. He wakes you up every morning, you begin to pray and declare, because that is the post where God has placed you. You could be young and thinking, I'm still at school, I can goof around. No. God has specifically chosen you. He has placed you in your family. He's placed you in that school. The job for all of us is to actually work out, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? He has placed you in situations, in offices, and you're wondering, I like this job. They pay me very well. Or they might not be paying you well. It's worse when they don't pay you well and you're in that office. And you're thinking, what am I doing here? But you got to understand and say, if we change our perspective and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to bring to this place? We heard from Pastor Clinton 2 weeks ago. He talked about leaving home, and he dipped his hands in like a pretend honey jar. And where he was going, he says, I am taking the presence of God with me wherever I go. Which means that where you go to the shops, God is going to begin to whisper stuff to you. Because he's interested not just in other people's lives, he's interested in your life. That you might be at the office and then somebody says, I'm not feeling well. Now you've got all that power. Are you just going to say, oh, nothing? Or are you going to take the step of courage and say, look, and this is what I believe. You know, I believe in prayer. Is it okay if I pray for you? And just allow God to begin to whisper to you. I want you to understand that in Luke, the 5th chapter, it talked about Peter and the disciples, and the Lord came and just you borrowed their boat for the day, and he was talking to the crowds. And as he was talking to the crowds, these guys had been, they had been fishing the whole night, and you have to understand that these men were fishermen. That was their job. It is like telling an artist how to draw. That's what they do. It's like telling a carpenter how to build. That's what they do. And so here, they're fishing, but they didn't catch anything the whole night. And then the Lord, after borrowing their boat, says, could you please cast your nets the other side? I just would have thought, like the disciples, who are you to tell us what to do? You're not a fisherman. You're a carpenter. What do carpenters know about fishing? But he said, nevertheless, because you said it, I'm going to do it. And guess what he did? Even though it didn't make sense to him, he threw the net over, boom, 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 and they caught such a big haul of fish, and they called their friends, please come and help us. God is going to whisper stuff to you about your life. The question is, will you do it? Will you, the thing that is whispering to you, are you going to do that? It could be the phone call that you're dreading to make. Or not even that. It could be just pick up the phone and call this individual. Will you follow? One of the things that I do, I'm a certified John Maxwell coach, speaker, and trainer. And normally part of the accreditation is you have to go every year to Orlando in America, and then they give you more training. You go there for about 3-4 days, and that trip, and so as I had planned, I put in my diary, starting from the 9th, I was going to leave on Thursday the 9th and come back possibly after next week, Friday. But during, at the beginning of this year, I sensed the Lord say, you're not going. That don't go. And I wondered to myself, but why? I still haven't worked out why. But guess what? I remember speaking to my coach, my church coach, Pastor John Finkeldy, and I said, look, I sensed this, that I don't go. And he said, look, he sensed the same thing at another time for himself, that he was supposed to go somewhere, and he just didn't sense the Lord saying, go. And that's the first time I've ever had a feeling about. Because, you know, I wanted to go to America. I'll be very honest. I wanted to go. But I just sense that not going for you. When we discern what it is that God wants in our lives, sometimes it's not a matter of our understanding and trying to work it out. It's a matter of our obedience to what God is saying to us. And that is very important. Peter said, look, because you said it, I will do it. Even though it seemed very silly, why would I do that? But you know what? You said it, and so I will do it. We heard from Pastor Nami last week talking about, as we're talking about the one, you know, this the theme we have for the year. In both our campuses, what we've said is we want to have a target of having 180 people come and visit. First time people to come and, you know, visit our church and become our guests when they do come. So between January 23 to 31 December, we would desire to have 180 people visit both our campuses. Now that's a lot of people, but as of last week, Sunday, we've had total first-time visitors to our church, guests, 61. Now, that's not because we're, you know, we're anything important. It's the Lord's doing. Now, of course, we try to do our best to be welcoming and all of that, which is very important. But that's about the one. It's not just about you going and talking to somebody and praying for somebody. It's about what God is doing in you. What is God doing in you? Because God works in you first before he works through you. And this is the thing where we need to be mindful that God is going to whisper things to you. The only question is, are you going to listen? Right now, as we speak, there are radio waves flowing through this, you know, this auditorium, this room here. Now, and somebody's saying something on those radio waves. There's some music being played. The only way we'll be able to hear it is if we tune in to the frequency. We tune into Hot 97. Is there Hot 97 here in Australia? No, that's an American thing. Sorry. It's like calling 911 in Australia. 93.5, bad. 98.5, so you tune in FM, and guess what? Whatever they're talking about, you dial into. Let's be those who dial into what God is saying, not just about your family. God will say things. You know, sometimes we all deal with very difficult children. You know, I don't know about you, I got kids. You know, and so kids, sometimes you're dealing with, I mean, that's just being honest, eh? You're dealing with some, you know, some weird kids, you know. But we have to dial into what God is saying as parents for our children. Sometimes we've got our own way, we have got our own way of discipline, but we need to be dialed into what God is saying about our kids, even though they might frustrate us to no end. I must have been frustrating for my father growing up, because he was always complaining that I didn't work hard at school. That's if you have an African father, they want you to work hard at school. That's just, it's a given. And the reality is that there is no father on earth who wants their children not to succeed. Every father wants their children to do well, to do better. But our as kids, we didn't take it like that. We thought, oh, why is this person on my case? It was love, I guess, that drove them to, that drives fathers to do what they do. Amen, fathers? No, I said amen, fathers? Amen, amen. Yes. You have some support in the house today. So, God is interested in your life. Are you going to dial into what he's saying? Even though it may feel silly. One thing I will tell you is that one of us, in fact, each and every one of us is going to need to call on the name of the Lord one day. When trouble comes, you are going to have to call on that name. It don't matter how young you are or how old you may feel. One day we're all going to say, Lord, we need you to come. So don't feel that because I'm a young person, you're immune. Nope. You're going to need, when something happens to your parent, you're going to say, Lord, deliver my parent. All of us are going to need to call on the name of the Lord. And so here today we're in this about the one person. Who is it that the Lord wants me to reach out to? But understand that whilst it's about, yes, inviting people, why do we want people to come to church? Is it because we just want to have a full auditorium? Yes. Because the football people at the Optus Stadium and the ones who do cricket or basketball, or if you listen to Rod Stewart, they are not afraid to invite you to their thing. They want you to come. Please come. Like who? There was Rod Stewart. Is it Rod Stewart last night? Anybody go to Rod Stewart? You don't have to put your hand up. It was yesterday. Yeah, so there was Rod Stewart was in town yesterday. I mean, he's a good singer. So Why not us as a church desire? Now, these people are calling you for entertainment purposes. All they want you to do is to come and dance and sing songs. But we're saying we want people to be added to the church so that they can have an encounter with God, so that their lives will be changed, so that their families will be restored. Yeah. Isn't that a good thing? Yeah. That they become in relationship with the Lord. That is why we want people to come to know Jesus, because we know that there is a heaven and there is a hell. Yeah. Unfortunately, there is a hell. But we want to desire, we desire that everybody gets saved and gets to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we desire for people to be added to our church. So in the Luke chapter 5, verse 17, it says, one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. I want to stop right there and say, that tells us that there are times that we may say things, there are times that we pray for people, things will happen, and other times things won't happen. But you have to understand that sometimes the Lord's power is upon you on one particular day. It may be. It didn't say every day, and it says, and the Lord's healing power was strongly. So sometimes God's presence is strongly on you. It's only going to be you speaking for an ignition to happen and for healing to come in somebody's life. Amen? So it says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Now this man was paralyzed, which means he could not do anything for himself. Being paralyzed really means that he could not walk. Something had happened to him. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And so for him to be able to get to Jesus, it required the assistance of other people. As we reach out to people, there are people. Now, in the scriptures, we need to understand that being paralyzed is like being taken over by sin. And we know the effects that sin has on our lives, that it can paralyze us. But we need some people to come into our lives and draw us and take us to encounter the Lord Jesus so that we can be forgiven of our sins, and so that we can be free. And because he was paralyzed, he had to rely on other people. And so all of a sudden, some men came and took him to meet the Lord Jesus. We need other people in our lives. People that we know that are just held back by issues. And sometimes in life just happens to people. Nobody has ever woken up and said, today I'm going to be a drug addict. Never. No, by the time I'm 20, I would love to be a drug addict. Or I would love to be an alcoholic. It's just that nobody aspires to do that. But guess what? Things happen to people and they get caught up in stuff. But it's incumbent on us to then say, look, come, let me introduce you to somebody that can help you in your life. And what we have to understand by some men, these guys, there's only one way they would have taken him to the Lord, is because they recognized that Jesus was the difference maker. Jesus was the only one that could make a difference. If you read the book, Luke chapter 5, the first miracle was the fish. They cast their nets and they got the fish. The second one was about Jesus healing a man with leprosy. This is a third one, paralyzed man. these guys understood that Jesus was a difference maker. We have to understand in our lives that Jesus is the one that can make a difference. And this is why when they took him and it says that seeing their faith, this is when they brought him down and they opened up the roof, he saw their faith. Their faith was proved by their actions. These men had an active faith because they recognized that Jesus can heal this man that's lying paralyzed. Jesus is the difference maker in our lives. We don't come here just because I'm speaking or Mr. Donovan is speaking or Pastor Nami is speaking. People come here to meet with the Lord, to encounter the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you're saying to us today? It's Jesus that we all come to Jesus. And what we have to understand is you bring people based on what the Lord has done for you. You say, come and see, this is what the Lord has done in my life. So when you're speaking to people, you're not talking to them about, oh, I heard this and that. You're saying, no, this is what the Lord did for me. He came and he helped me. I was sick and he healed me. I was caught up in a whole lot of things and he freed me. We would be here up until next week if we all would start talking about what the Lord has done for us. The places, the secret things about our lives that the Lord has done for us, we'll just keep them secret. We don't want to reveal all things. And there's no need to. But that's what we do to people. We'll say, come and see, this is what the Lord did for me. Because nobody can deny what the Lord has done for you. Amen? Amen. And so they understood that Jesus was a difference maker. And the other thing they understood was that these guys took initiative. They had to take initiative. Because they thought, how else are we going to get our brother? He was probably lying on the bed at home. And they said, you know what? Let's just get this mat and let's go. Or they put him on a bed sheet and they all carried one corner each and were going to ensure that their friend would at least encounter Jesus to be saved and to be healed. One thing I like about them is that they were persistent. They got to the door. And all of a sudden, it was full. They couldn't get in. Now, it's quite easy now because there's a lot of empty chairs here that you think are a big deal. But imagine if it's packed and there's no car park there. All of a sudden, there's a lot of inconvenience that comes. It becomes very easy to drive by to church one day and because the car park is full, you're like, stuff it. It's full. I'm going home today. Because there's an inconvenience when things are, you know, when there's a whole lot of people. But these guys were persistent. They said, it doesn't matter. We're going to make a way so that our friend can get the healing that he wants. And so we have to be persistent. If we want to see our family saved, if we want to see our friends saved, then guess what? We're going to have to be persistent. It could be the invite. We're constantly inviting people. Oh, why don't you come to church? Why don't you come on Good Friday? Why don't you come on Easter Sunday? Why don't you come next week or the week after? Be persistent and saying, I'm praying for you. Tell them, hi, is there? And the best way when you're dealing with people is to say, is there anything that you would like me to pray for you? Very simple. They might say nothing. Today they'll say nothing, and that's okay. But tomorrow it might be something. So you have to be, you need to take initiative. Just the fact that maybe this week they said, don't pray for me, I've got nothing, doesn't mean next week they won't have a prayer need. Amen? So we have to be persistent. And lastly, and most importantly, the Pharisees really missed the idea here. They're complaining about Jesus saying, I'll forgive you. You know, who is he to forgive sins? And the Lord is saying, you know, like, what is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or take up your mat and go? Now, the easiest one to say is your sins are forgiven. Now, the truth is that people can't see that your sins are forgiven just because you say it. But what they will see is if you say, get up and take your mat, and you don't get up and take your mat, that's a difficult one. And so for them, they were annoyed because if you read in the book of Leviticus, it tells you that only healing only happens in the temple. That's only where healing could take place, and the priest there to preside over all of that. So they are now ticked, like, who is this guy who is saying he can forgive sins? And so what we have to do is to ensure that we keep the main things the main things. This is a KTMT. TMT is, for me, in all that we can do, in all that we can say, let's keep the main things the main things. Let's not get caught up in philosophical arguments about this or that. Let us just remain resolute to say, you know what? This year, all we're going to do is we're going to love God, we're going to love each other, and we're going to love our community. Anything that does not get, you know, any theological debates and arguments, you know what? There's a time and a place for that. But what we want to, we are not going to be known as people, oh, you know that church? They're such a theological church. I want to go there. No, people will come to a church because they find love. They find acceptance. Because people come with all their stuff. But they're not coming because of the theological training that we have or how deep we are with our theology. Of course, we want to have the correct theology. But we want to keep things the main thing, the main thing. And I'll just get everybody to stand as we finish this morning. So let's not get distracted about so many different things. Let us remain resolute that all we want to do is to love God. We are going to be known as a church. By this you will know that you are, they will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's all we're going to do, and we're going to love our community the best way we can. We know we've got our sister that is through Jeanette. She's helping out with the Port Care, and they're doing food drops, vegetable boxes, to support people in our community. So we're going to continue to love our community. We're going to continue to love God. Coming up on the 31st of March this year, we've got a prayer from 9 to 12 o'clock at night. It's going to rotate between the two campuses. The first one is going to be at Fremantle. And this is praying. So God, we want your kingdom to come. We want your presence to come. We want people to come to know you. We're seeking the face of God for our community. We're seeking the face of God for our families and for our friends and for one another, that we would experience the presence of God, and that when people come to our church, they can experience the love of God. So Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God, that each and every one of us is loved by you. Each and every one of us, Father, is chosen, that you have given us each a voice. And Lord, I pray that we would use the voice that you have given us to go out and, Father, to pray for our one person, most importantly, for our one person to come to know you, that we would invite one person. Lord, you love to speak to the crowd, but you love to engage with one people, with one person, just like you engaged with Peter, just as you engaged with the leper, just as you engaged with the paralyzed man. Father, that this man came, Father, seeking healing, but he got forgiveness of his sins. Lord, it doesn't matter the way that people came or what the reason that they come, as long as they come to know you. And so, Father, I pray through each and every one of us, Lord, we would, Father, we would speak, we would pray, we would trust you, Father, as you speak to us to go to touch somebody, Lord God, as you speak to us, Father, to help somebody and even to invite someone. Give us the courage that we each need, Father, to invite somebody, to pray for somebody, and to believe, Lord God, for healing for over somebody's lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So thank you, church. Thank you.